Hello, hello, and welcome to today's show. This is another Beyond Real Talk episode. So just recently, this past Friday, I did a live Burnout Real Talk session over on YouTube. If you didn't get to join us live or you haven't caught the replay yet, hop on over there. I'm sharing some very valuable insights from my recent journey through a new level, a new devil, right, of stress. I've been burnout free for the last 4 years. And I've been able to stay that way. I've stayed out of burnout. Now, I didn't stay out of stress, and it took a little adjusting. And I share some of those gold nuggets and those insights into what's actually been happening in my life and how I've been navigating it to stay out of burnout. So go check that out. But let's get into today's Burnout Real Talk episode. I'm talking about three of the biggest burnout energy vampires. And I'm going to be sharing with you how to energize them, how to balance out and get some energy mastery in these three big areas. It's going to be interesting. I'm going to start off with some burnout research data, some highlights. This is really fascinating. So I am a researcher and I have been conducting burnout research in a survey in a global population of a variety of neurotypes. So it includes, you know, I guess what we call normies. I don't know. I don't really have a good word for those neurodominant folks. They're not really the dominant population, but they think they are. But it also looks at autistic, ADHD, dyslexic. It looks at people and how they are experiencing burnout as disabled or physically disabled. People. And it also looks at burnout with co-occurring health conditions. So my data is really looking at not just burnout from an ICD-11 definition of burnout, saying this happens in the workplace, because you and I both know that is a load of hooey. Burnout does not just happen at work. It happens in all aspects of your life. And the fact that the medical community, which, by the way, we all know that it really needs a lot of work. The medical deficit model is keeping people broken and sick, in my opinion. But, you know, the DSM, the ICD-11, it looks at burnout from the quote-unquote work perspective. And I'm sorry, we don't leave burnout at the door at work. We carry it everywhere we go. And it doesn't just stress from that creates burnout. You know, those chronic and consistent unmet needs don't just happen at work. They happen at home. They happen at life. They happen at the grocery store. They happen, you know, when you're doing your laundry. They happen with your partner. They happen with your kids. They happen with your family. They happen with the stranger that just cuts you off in traffic. I mean, there's all of these different elements. And one of the tools that I use to look at burnout is the 30 basic human nourishment needs. These are the nourishment keys, is what I call them. And I looked at these and I asked a very large population over the last 3 years, which of these particular nourishment areas are being met for you right now? And I had originally started out by asking what wasn't met. And that was really freaking hard. It was hard for me and it was hard for other people. And I'm like, well, it's way easier for us to identify what's being met, or at least what we have some of in our life, because we sometimes don't even know what we don't have and what we need. So here's just some really interesting highlights to kind of set the stage, because this is going to directly relate to the top three nourishment keys that we're going to be talking about, those big energy vampires, in just a second. But I feel like you need to have a little bit of this insight to really grasp the gravity of this. So physiological needs is the first one that I always ask about, because it's the easiest. It's more concrete. It's our body, right? Our physical body. And when we're looking at our physical body in this particular area, I'm looking at rest. Like, I feel well rested, relaxation, I feel calm and peaceful, food, I feel well fed, water, I feel hydrated. By the way, let's take a water break. If you haven't had any water today, take a sip right now. Comfort, I feel comfortable. I mean, whatever that is to you. Sex, I feel sexually fulfilled. Physical physical activity, I feel invigorated. And there's also a none of the above option. Some people are just like, none of this is getting met. And here's what's interesting. 20% of respondents said none of these physiological needs were being met for them. So out of this list, the number one response was for the things that were not met was physical activity. I thought that was really interesting. And this all ties into what we're going to be talking about. So they didn't feel like they have enough physical activity. The second most prominent one was relaxation. Don't feel calm. What? Relaxation, huh? I don't know what you're talking about. I never relax. You know, I hear that a lot. And there was a tie for the third one, which was rest. I feel well rested, which that was not really a big shock. I was surprised it wasn't higher, but the physical activity was the most prominent unmet nourishment. And it was tied in third place with sex, feeling sexually fulfilled. So the next category is safety. Now, this was interesting. There were two categories where no one selected none of the above. Like everybody had something in this category. So for safety, the things that were not nourished, the place where people were experiencing like, this is not happening in my life. This was really interesting. So in this section, under safety needs, we have physical safety. I feel like I'm safe from physical danger, right? Shelter, I feel protected from the elements of nature. Emotional safety, I feel safe from emotional danger. Financial security. The last one is order, structure, familiarity, consistency, stability. I feel like my environment is dependable. And none of the above. Well, no one selected none of the above. Everybody had something in this category. The number one unmet nourishment was emotional safety at 63.3%. The second most prominent one in this was like a big chunk, order, structure, familiarity, stability. So I feel like my environment is dependable. So 40% said that's not met. So 60% of people were saying this is not being met for me. You know, only 40% of people said that it was. So these are two big things, emotional safety and dependability, like your environment was dependable. So let's kind of hop into the next section, which is love, our love nourishment. This was really interesting. In this one, 6.7% said none of the above are met. So 6.7%, almost 7% of respondents said this was not met for them. So the number one need, nourishment, key in this love section, the people said this is not happening for me, was sexual connection. Which is interesting because we had feeling sexually fulfilled physically in that first section. And now we have like sexual connection is the other one. So 78% of people said they just are not feeling sexually connected to another person. The second most undernourished area was belonging, community, and acceptance. 68% of people said this is not happening in my world. In the third area in the love category was openness, authenticity, and transparency. So 66% of people said this was not happening in their life, which is really interesting when we start to get to these top three. So the next category is esteem. And this can sometimes be a little hard to kind of pin down. So let me go over some esteem. So this would be recognition, attention, appreciation. Like I feel recognized and celebrated for my accomplishments. Respect, prestige, status. I feel respected and looked up to. Now, these are not a bad thing. Some people think about esteem in some of these categories as like, oh, that's, you know, you shouldn't feel that way. You shouldn't, you know, this is sort of braggadocious or self-centered or vain or whatever. These are not. These are important nourishment, human nourishment keys. Contribution and service. I feel like I'm making a positive impact. Competence, achievement, success. I feel like I'm succeeding at what I put effort into. Challenge, growth, and stimulation. I feel challenged by what I've been working on recently. And then, of course, none of the above. So what's interesting in this one is 15% to none of these things are getting met. 15% of people said, none of these esteem things are happening for me. The number one area was competence, achievement, and success. And that is essentially, I feel like I'm succeeding at what I put effort into. Can you relate? Is that like, are you nodding your head on the other side? The number two most prominent undernourished area in the esteem category was respect, prestige, and status. I feel respected and looked up to. And that really kind of correlates with one of these top three big energy vampires we're going to talk about in just a minute. But 58% of people said, I don't feel that way. That's not happening in my life. So here's the last category in the data, self-actualization, nourishment keys. This did not surprise me at all when I saw the data on this one. The number one area in this category. So let me give you a little overview of what falls into the self-actualization category. Purpose and meaning. I feel like my life has meaning. Novelty, variety, adventure, spontaneity. I feel like I've had new exciting experiences lately. Play, joy, laughter, pleasure. I feel playful and am enjoying life. Creativity. I feel like I'm bringing new ideas to life. Knowledge and discovery. I feel like I'm learning more and more about the world around me. Aesthetics, beauty, gratitude, celebration, presence. I feel appreciative of the beauty around me. Privacy and space. I feel like I've had an adequate amount of alone time. There's a lot of people that do not feel like they have some alone time. It didn't end up in the top category, though, which I was a little surprised on that one. Self-connection, self-acceptance, self-understanding. I feel connected to and accept myself and my needs. Autonomy, agency, independence, and control. I feel like I am in control, like I am free to make my own choices. And then, of course, the none of the above. 0% of people said none of the above. This is another one of those categories where at least one thing was getting nourished in this area. So here are the two top things that are not being nourished in this category. These are the places that the energy was pouring out. Like, this is not pouring into me at all. Number one, with 86.7% of people saying this was not happening for them, play, joy, laughter, and pleasure. I feel playful and am enjoying life. Not a surprise when you're in burnout. The second most prominent one in this section, with 73.3% of respondents saying this is not happening for me, that was self-connection and self-acceptance and self-understanding. I feel connected to and accept myself. So if any of these things are ringing a bell or you're relating to them, hey, you just got the numbers to show you you're not alone. There are a whole host of other folks that have also been feeling and experiencing this in their burnout experience. So let's dive into the top three burnout energy vampires. And I really wanted to lay the foundation for where we're going with this conversation in these three big energy vampires so that you had a little bit of the data. I've been collecting this data around the globe for the last 3 years, and I have hundreds, thousands of people who have responded to this. And it's been really, really interesting. The data goes a lot deeper than what I've just shared. But this is just some of the highlights from these nourishment keys. So let's start with number three, and we're going to work backwards to our number one. So number three is authenticity. Authenticity. Now, that's not a surprise when we look at that self-actualization, that number two was self-connection and self-acceptance. It falls into that same place of authenticity that we see. And it also falls in that same category. Authenticity more explicitly falls under that love category of openness, authenticity, and transparency. And that was actually the number three in the love category. So when we look at authenticity, what are we talking about as far as how do we even know that this might be an energy vampire for you? And an energy vampire, so when I talk about energy mastery, I'm talking about how we both expend energy, how it flows out, and how we bring energy in, how it flows into us. Because energy mastery is being able to do both things. Because our energy is meant to flow out. It is also meant to flow in. And most people, and me included, when I was in burnout for almost 40 years, I had mastered the crud out of how energy flows out. I had not mastered, and I did not understand the reciprocity of how energy flows into us. So the reason I'm naming these three big energy vampires, these are the things that with all of my global research, when we pressure test all of these nourishment keys, these are the three that people say, that's really important. That's the thing that I feel like is draining most of my energy. And the number three category was authenticity. So let's dive into a little bit of what the heck are authenticity symptoms. Like, how do I know that authenticity might be my energy vampire, right? So here's some of the symptoms, and this is like how it can feel. What the experience of not having that authenticity in your life is. This aligns with your throat energy center, and that is associated with the color of blue. So some of the feelings or experiences for a vampire energy drain in this area, difficulty communicating to yourself, not just to other people, but sometimes just communicating with yourself inside your head, right? Anxiety, feelings of anxiety, nervousness, feeling inhibited, like you can't really express or open up. You got to keep everything behind the wall. You got to keep everything inside. This can result in like ruptures of anger and frustration. So if you've been like people pleasing because it doesn't necessarily feel comfortable to be your authentic self, or you haven't quite figured out who that authentic person is within you, you know, maybe you've never had the chance to discover that. Maybe you've been in survival mode for decades and that has never felt safe to explore. And so when you are suppressing the things that you do feel or that are important to you because you don't feel like you can authentically express those to other people, when you've held it in for just so long, you reach a point where you just can't anymore. And somebody pushes the last little button and that grain of sand tips the scales and you erupt. You get really angry or you get super frustrated. Or maybe you're like me and you just break down and cry because you're just so frustrated and so angry. You don't scream or get mad or anything. You cry. So that can definitely be it too. One of the other like physical or the emotional type things that you can experience is not being able to relax. You never feel like you're fully understood for your true self. You're never really seen. That can be sort of one of those feelings that comes up. Now, here's the thing. Just because you may not recognize or you might be recognizing some of these, for some folks, it shows up and you can really start to connect the dots in this energy vampire section through your physical body. So let's talk about how does this manifest in your physical body? Because we feel our physical feelings in our body first. So sometimes this authenticity vampire energy sucker may be showing up in your physical body. And here's some ways it can show up. Are you clearing your throat often, especially when in conversation with other people? Women do this a lot. I'm just saying, I mean, if we're going to talk about some gender differences, because there sometimes are women or female assigned at birth, tend to have a more blocked throat energy center and tend to have more like clearing of their throat when they speak. When you're in conversation, there can be not just those, sometimes there can be mutism that shows up. Like for me, one of the things when I felt like I wasn't able to like fully express myself, or it wasn't safe for me to be authentic and express my true feelings or thoughts or whatever, my body would respond with just, I couldn't get the words out. My tongue felt heavy. My mouth, like I could be thinking a gazillion things in my head, but I could not physically get the words out. And I would go through these situational mutism experiences. And these can be kind of scary. Sore throat, difficulty concentrating, hoarseness. This can also result in some thyroid issues. If this is something that's going on long-term, mouth ulcers, dental issues, jaw pain, TMJ. TMJ, I had one of those acrylic mouthpieces. Y'all, I bit that thing in half. I broke that acrylic mouthpiece, and that was very upsetting because I had to pay out of pocket for that sucker, and it was not cheap. And I've never been able to afford another one again. One of these days, it would be really nice. I could use it. And definitely the dental thing. I had braces three different times, and you know they put those jump rings on your back molars. And I had cracked crowns. And so I had to have root canals and all kinds of stuff years ago, like probably 20 plus years ago. And I have for most of my life, and I don't know that I could definitely say that that was a problem, because other people have had braces and not had that same problem. So I've definitely, this is one I had some challenges with. This was a big energy vampire area for me. So if it's for you too, and maybe dental stuff has been something that's shown up for you, you know, that can also be some of those co-occurring health condition things that show up because I've got a small palate and, you know, ADHD ears. This is kind of a common thing that you may not know. A smaller palate, more teeth. I had 12 teeth pulled so that I had room. So, and I talked to a lot of folks that have that similar thing. So there you go. You're not alone. But here's some authenticity nourishment tips on how you can energize. So if I went through those lists of things, you know, like what it feels like and how it can show up in your body around authenticity, and you're going mentally, wow, I'm ticking off some boxes here, Carol Jean. What the heck do I do now? Here's some tips. The best one, and I do this with my Unveiling Method clients. And so the things that I'm sharing with you, they're things that I do with clients all the time. So number one, the best tip here, to get to that place of authenticity, especially in late identified life, because that's like a massive identity crisis, okay? And you're going to go through lots of processing and grief and anger and all this stuff. But when you're ready, identify your top five values. And I'll tell you, this is one of those things where it's an unlayering. It took me 2 years of reevaluating my values every 6 months until I got to my core values, where I had unmasked and decloaked all the camouflage, all the things that I had onboarded that were societal norms of like family as my value and all this kind of stuff, when really there were other values that were really mine in this season. Now, listen, your values change all the time throughout your life. You're going to have some core values, like those top two to three that stay with you, and they may re-rank, you know, it may like move from one to three or two to one or whatever. And you may have two or three that rotate on or off up and down the list in that top five. But for the most part, once you start to really do the work here to reach your authentic self, you're going to uncover some beautiful things. Once you peel off those four layers that come, or three layers really, because fourth is authentic values. So we have adapted values, like those we've adapted from people around us, things that we've adopted because maybe somebody in our life was doing it and we thought, huh, you know, that kind of aligns right now. And then we have like agreements. So, you know, in our family, we maybe grew up with certain set of values that we heard spoken around us or they were taught to us growing up. And we just agreed to them without really putting conscious intention and thought behind them. So to identify your top five values right now, kind of think through, is this really mine? Is this authentic? And sometimes it takes time. And how you can start to get to that, this is what I have people do in the unveiling method, is I have them define what that particular value means to them. Not the definition out in the world, but like, what does that value word mean to you? So what does health mean to you? What does wisdom mean to you? And then define it as to how does it act? How does it behave? When someone is being in good health, like when they are valuing their health, physical, mental, emotional health, how does that behave? You know, so for me, because that's my number one value, is my health. That means that I'm choosing healthy foods. That means that I'm moving my body. I'm drinking some water, you know, more than one cup a day. And it's not my coffee anymore, y'all. I'm so proud of myself. What does it sound like? So when I am being my value of health, what do I say? What do I say internally, you know, to myself, what I think? And what do I say about it to other people? How do I share it or express it? What does it look like in your life when you're being that value of, I'm just using the example, health, because that's mine. And when you begin to align to these, this is the exercise that I give to all of my private clients in the Unveiling Method, and I'm going to give it to you right now. So you can go online, and they've got a gazillion different assessments out there, but there's a personal values assessment. It's free. I love it because it's got all the different little cards, and it gives you a definition of roughly what that value word means, because sometimes it's just a word to us, and it doesn't necessarily have context. So go check out the personal values assessment, and I'll put the link down in the show notes. And it will give you your top five values. And it does a side-by-side comparison. So it helps you kind of pressure test them. What I want you to do after you sort of define these for yourself, you said, hey, this is how it acts or behaves. This is how it sounds. And this is how it looks for me, not anybody else, for you. I then want you to stop and I want you to reflect. And I want you to ask yourself, what does this value? Where do I want more of this value in my life? So for example, for me, this is what I did. My number one value is my health. And I thought, where do I want more health in my life? Where are some places that I want more of that? Where do I need or want that to show up for me? Like, where would that feel good? And I was like, in my kitchen. In my kitchen, and not just in my kitchen any old time, because during the day, that's easy. At night, it's harder. So where could I put my little index card? Like I took a 4x6 index card and I just put the word health and I put some images of what health meant to me. So I just cut out some pictures and slapped it on there. This does not have to be fancy. You can even make it like, it doesn't even have to have a word on it. It can just have a picture of what it represents for you. So I had the word health and I had, you know, a picture of me running and I had, you know, a really pretty outfit. And I had just a picture of what felt like energy and vitality and just feeling really good in my body. I had a picture of what that represented for me. And I put it on the refrigerator. And I put it on the refrigerator so that when I went in late in the evening and I was really kind of just like going to habit eat or comfort eat in the evening, because I was noticing that was a pattern, I saw that word. I saw that really pretty representation of what health gives me, why I value it, just with a quick glance, and it really helped. Like, I stopped eating a bunch of junk and extra things at night when I really wasn't hungry, because I have a hard time identifying when I'm hungry and when I'm not, because I don't get like hunger pains or anything like that. I do kind of get hangry, as they say, but I don't have like the normal hunger pain kind of thing people talk about. So it's taken me a while to recognize that. So that's an example. But I want you to think for you, where in my physical space, what place in my space do I want more of that particular value I've identified? And just to kind of wrap up this area with some nourishment tips to energize for authenticity, I have two sort of loving kindness mantras that you can say. May I allow myself to be imperfect. May I allow myself to be imperfect. The reason I chose that is because one of the underlying roots of why we don't feel like we are in alignment and being our authentic self, it's because we have this survival, this protective mechanism so often of, I have to be perfect. And if I'm not perfect, I'm not safe. If I'm not perfect, I'm not good enough. And may I allow myself to be imperfect? Oh, that's giving yourself some space to allow authenticity to come through. Here's the second one you can choose from if that one didn't quite do it for you. May I feel at ease in the present moment. Now, we are usually so busy living in the past, or we are so busy living in our heads in the future. We very rarely live in the present moment. May I feel at ease. Like, just take a breath. May I be at ease in the present moment. Because in the present moment, we're not trying to change and shape ourselves for the future. We're not beating ourselves up and you know, all the stuff that we didn't do in the past. In the present moment, if we can just take a breath and we are just being in this present moment in a breath, we can be our authentic self. We can align for just one breath of, I'm here. I'm here. All right, you ready for number two? Number two is belonging. And hey, if you haven't listened to the episode with Kim Burney Brook, just a couple episodes back around belongingness, oh my goodness, if you identified this one for yourself, if when I go through these areas about the symptoms and the feelings and experiences of belonging, go back and listen to that episode. There's some beautiful things in there that really will continue this nourishment and energizing of belonging. So let's talk about what belonging symptoms, like where do we feel it? How does it show up in our body when we got an energy vampire in the belonging category? So some of the symptoms, how it can feel, this shows up, guys, in your heart chakra. And that is your heart energy center. And it aligns with the color green. It's in the center of your chest. This is where it connects your higher self to your physical lower body self. This is the junction, right? This is where we feel and experience belonging and belongingness, as my friend Kim says. So how can it feel when this is like out of whack? When it's not balanced, when all of the energy vampires are sucking it out and the energy is not flowing in, you can feel like you don't fit in. You can feel loneliness, sadness, resentment. Now, I talked about resentment in the nine day energy up level and had probably more comments come in around the episode where I talked about resentment than anything else. So you may want to check that one out too. An inability to forgive, like hanging on to it, not not allowing forgiveness, not being able to forgive. Difficulty expressing feelings to yourself as well as to other people. We can be kind of harsh and judgy of ourselves and other people when we don't feel belonging or belongingness. And when that is a really big drain, we get in this place where we're really super judgy. And it's one you don't often think about. It can also show up as people pleasing. Like, we want to belong so bad, we just start people pleasing ourselves to death. And that's just some big old energy drainers. Those are some things, some feelings and experiences that will cause some serious physical symptoms. So let's dive into belonging physical symptoms when the energy vampire is sucking it out of us here. You can experience upper back pain, shoulder pain, upper arm pain, respiratory issues, you know, asthma, just allergy-related respiratory stuff sometimes comes in. It tends to get worse this time of year. It's usually pretty tough as we're here in spring right now. So let's talk about some nourishment to energize belonging. So if you've just identified and you're like, ooh, I've just checked off a bunch on this list. And if you've had this one and the one before, number three, that's okay. Some people, this is kind of a big, but we want to kind of, which one feels heavier? Which one feels like the biggest energy drain? And that's the one I want you to focus on. So here's some tips on how to begin. Begin within. When it comes to belonging, begin within. Loving kindness from within yourself. When we don't feel like we belong with other people, so often when we turn this back in and I start digging deeper with the person and we're sort of pressure testing through this list of nourishment keys and really identifying what's this number one nourishment key for you? Where's the place that the most energy is being drained? And how can we start to put some framework around how you're going to get this nourished to bring energy in? Because that's also where the energy is flowing out the most. It's also going to be your golden ticket to where the most energy will flow in for you. So when we look at, I belong here, that's your statement. I belong here, not out there, not with other people, but I belong here inside in me. I belong to me. I belong here. How we usually begin with this in the unveiling method, and here's one of the, this is the very first activity that we do in phase two of the unveiling method, and this is called the self-care plan from the inside out, because we know self-care and all those external self-care things, they feel good, they last for a little bit, but they don't last for a long time, and they're not sustainable. So we do something called reflection work, and this is, here's the activity. Now, this can be super uncomfortable. I'm just going to warn you. But everybody that has had massive resistance who said, this is so uncomfortable. Carol Jean, I hate this. This feels horrible in my body. I cannot do this, but I'm going to try it. Has always come back. I haven't had one single person say that this has not made not just an incredible transformation in a short period of time when it comes to belonging in their life and how they feel about belonging to themselves. It has made this huge ripple impact that shows up in how they treat themselves, how they talk to themselves going forward. And it's just so beautiful and it just keeps deepening. So here is how you do this, how you do reflection work. So you get a mirror. Now, I say start in the biggest mirror you have. So maybe the big bathroom mirror. Now, you don't have to be naked or anything like that. Just with your clothes on, stand in front of the mirror. Look at yourself. Now, for some of us, eye contact can be a little uncomfortable. So look at a body part. Look at a part of your body. You do not necessarily have to look directly in your eyes. That is something sometimes we work up to, and sometimes that's just not going to happen. So do what's comfortable for you, but look at yourself in some way. And when you look in the mirror, now I'm just giving you like the hardcore where to start so you can feel the contrast. Okay. We're going to adapt this to feel more comfortable. So don't panic. I truly had to adopt this, but adapt this. So here we go. Stand in front of the big giant bathroom mirror. Look at yourself, be it eye to eye contact in the mirror or a potty part that you look at and focus on. And I want you to put your hands over your heart. Take a deep breath in. And as you exhale, say, I love you. And you can say, I love you, Carol Jean. No, not to me, but like say your name. Say goodnight, Gracie. Goodnight, Gracie. Say, I love you. Or I love Carol Jean. Whatever feels most comfortable for you. What feels most connecting. Now I want you to do that so you can feel what it feels like. Now, here's the how you do it. The exercise is to say that 10 times in a row, 3 times a day, morning, lunchtime, and nighttime before bed. Now, here's how I had to do it. I started that way. It was painful. It was uncomfortable. I didn't believe it. I was lying, and it just made me mad. I mean, it was like viscerally, physically uncomfortable. So I got this little tiny round mirror that I had in my purse, and I held it down off to the side, and I tilted it to where I just kind of saw the corner of my eye, and I couldn't start with, I loved you. Now I did like the test, like so I knew what it felt like, but I had to adapt it to start where I was comfortable and what felt real to me. And I want you to do the same thing. Okay. And nobody told me this. This is stuff in my Nerdistinct life. I had to figure this out and adapt it like I do with every freaking thing else in my life. I have to adapt it to make it work for me. So I'm hoping that this is going to help you too. If you're Nerdistinct and you need to have some things that are more accessible for you and adapted. So I took the little tiny hand mirror, put it down to the side and was just looking at a little bit of my eye. And I was like, okay, I'm going to hold space for you for 10 seconds. And that's what I said. I'm just going to hold space for you for 10 seconds. And I said that 10 times. Now, I love this. I had a client that said, and I have several that have said this, and I felt this way. I was like, oh God, 10 times. This is just redundant. I'm just like, my brain is wandering. By the time you get to the 10th time, it's just like, oh, finally. You're just like counting to make sure you get through the 10 times and repetition. That's okay. That's part of this process. You absolutely will feel that way. And it's okay. You're not doing it wrong. It's not messing anything up. Just keep going. Now, I usually habit stack stuff because memory, especially in burnout, is just really a challenge. It was a big challenge for me. And this was uncomfortable. So it's not like I was seeking out to say, I love you in the mirror, full on, right? So I did start like when I went to brush my teeth in the morning. I had a little note, post-it note on the mirror that said, do the thing. And I knew what that meant. And I had the little hand mirror right there on the counter in the bathroom. And that first day, I did it twice. I did it in the morning and I did it at lunch. I didn't remember it at night. By the third day, I was like, this is dumb. I really want this to work because that day I had just made this decision that I wanted to love me. For the first time in my life, I've never loved me until now, but I just made this decision. I'm like, this sucks. I want to feel love for me. I want to feel love like I feel for Josh. And I was like, light bulb moment. And I was standing in the bathroom. It was lunchtime and I was doing the thing in the mirror, you know, my little handheld mirror. And I was like, I want to feel what I feel for him. I want to feel that for me. And I walked around the corner, the wall of the bathroom, and on the other side of the wall in our bedroom was his desk, and he was sitting there working. And I just smiled, and I looked at him. He wasn't even looking at me. And I looked at him, and I just thought, I love you. I love you so much. And all of these physical feelings of love came flooding into my body. And it was this warm, radiating feeling. And I was like, that's what I want to feel for me. And I was like, hang on. I want to hold this in my body. I'm going to hold this in my body. And I don't know, something just said I could do this. I held that feeling of I love you when I looked at Josh. I held that feeling in my body. I walked around the wall back into the bathroom and I didn't look in the little mirror at this point. I just put it down. I looked in that big giant mirror. I looked at myself dead in the eye and I said, this feeling that I'm feeling right here, I want to feel that for you. I want to love you like this. And I don't know what that unlocked. There's this thing called mirror neurons, and you know, we can get into the science side of it, but I think that's what I tapped into. But when I said that, something changed. And the next day, I was lying in bed, and I had just come out of the bath, and I was laying on the bed, and I was putting lotion on my legs. And I always have looked at my body and looked at my legs, especially my legs and my ankles, and was like very critical. I have kind of thick skater ankles. I have very shapely, like I don't have small legs. I'm a pretty curvy girl. And I've never, ever done anything other than be very critical when I look at my body until then. And as I was putting lotion on my legs and I had my leg up in the air, I was kind of stretching and being silly. And I immediately just thought, that is such a pretty leg. I have beautiful, pretty legs. And I caught myself. I mean, it was just this thought that just popped out. Not a criticizing thought. Not a, oh, you got thick ankles. None of that. I was putting lotion on and I was admiring them. And I just thought, my legs are so pretty. And I went, whoa. I love myself. Holy cow, I've never been nice or kind to my body. I really believe they're pretty. Like, I genuinely believe it. It wasn't a lie. And from that point on, it just kept snowballing. It just kept getting more and more. I was becoming kinder and gentler to myself. And I also began to feel in my body that I belong here. I love me. So there you go. Give that one a whirl. All right, you ready for number one? The number one biggest burnout energy vampire? Dum-da-da-dum. Emotional safety. Now, let's talk about this for a minute. It is not emotional safety. I mean, sometimes it is. It's emotional safety with other people. So emotional safety, meaning I can express my feelings, whatever emotions I'm experiencing, to other people. And that's all fine and dandy. And that's usually a part of it. But when I talk about the number one emotional safety energy vampire in burnout, it is not externally with other people. It is internally. I feel emotionally safe to feel my feelings and feel the physical sensations of my emotions and my feelings in my body. It's okay. Because for a lot of us, we got some trauma. For a lot of us, we have been in survival mode. And all of that has meant this body, whoops, I just knocked my glasses off. This body does not feel safe. And when I feel emotions, like those really big emotions, especially like in the teenage years, especially, you know, anytime we have really had like big emotions and hormonal fluctuations that make those emotions feel even bigger in our bodies. And they would show up sometimes, you know, if you've got processing delays or if you're autistic and so things are not processing in the moment, there's a delay in that, which also trauma does those things. That when they showed up because they weren't in the context of the event, it really would throw you for a loop. Or you would feel all the feelings and there were all these really big feelings and you couldn't sort them out, you know, alexithymia. You couldn't sort out what all those physical feelings were to assign them a word and a description in your mind. So they didn't feel safe. So I'm going to push it down. I'm going to suppress it. I'm not going to feel it, or I'll feel it, but I'm not going to give it any attention because it doesn't feel safe. So internal emotional safety is one of the biggest number one energy vampires that come up time and time again with my clients in the unveiling method. So let's talk about how this can feel. What emotional safety symptoms, how does this show up? It can be feeling stuck. It can be difficulty releasing emotions. Like you just hold them in, you know, and you don't express them. You don't process them through your body. You hang on to them like death grip, right? It can be a lot of emotional dysregulation. Like your emotions could be cycling really big and you're like way up or way down. Like you can feel totally numbed out and you can feel totally overwhelmed and like a big giant emotion at the same time. So don't think like it's one or the other. It can also be at these two complete extremes simultaneously. Feeling alone and isolated. Feeling fear and insecurity. You know, those feelings in your body. It can create these feelings of depression. Now, burnout creates an experience of depression, and it is different. And burnout so often gets misidentified as depression or generalized depression, when in fact it's burnout, especially for neurodistinct humans, especially for people with co-occurring health conditions or physical disabilities. A lot of times, people with the best of intentions who are trying to help us who don't really understand burnout, who really only have like, oh, it's stress and work related. They don't really understand the scope and the impact of burnout. Sometimes you'll be told you have depression. And there is depression that you experience in burnout, and it alleviates and it moves out as you begin to restore through burnout. And then there is an overall depression that even when you are moving out of burnout, doesn't resolve itself. So there's no way to differentiate it until you start to energize. Okay, I'm just going to tell you. So then we have some physical symptoms that show up in your body. Emotional safety is going to show up in your body in some pretty big ways. Chronic lower back pain. And the energy center in your body, your physical body, that emotional safety correlates to, there's two. The root energy center, and that's across your pelvic area. It's at the base of your spine. And your sacral energy center, and that's below your navel and to right above your hip area. And so the root color associated that with that is red. And the sacral energy center is orange. So it can be chronic lower back pain, you know, sciatica issues. It can be digestive issues, constipation, diarrhea, a little combination of both. Can have a lot of immune disorders that tend to show up when you've got long-term emotional safety things. Kidney and urinary issues. Oh my gosh, the amount of UTIs, urinary tract infections that I had when this was a really big area for me. I can tell you this was my number one. This was my number one energy vampire that contributed to my burnout. I never felt safe. I didn't feel safe in the world. I didn't feel safe in my own body. And I would always think, I don't feel safe. I don't feel safe like other people don't feel safe. I didn't feel safe just in my own existence. So let's dive into some tips. So if this is something that's registering and you're nodding and this is, you're like, oh yeah. Now I want you to think about something. As we've gone through these top three nourishment keys, these big energy vampires, the places that are really sucking the energy, I want you to just take a moment and tap into your higher self, your inner knowing. And if we just say, which of these three, authenticity, belonging, or emotional safety, which one is yours? You already know. You already know. Trust that. And I know that that's part of this unveiling method process is also building trust with ourselves. So here's some tips to help you nourish and energize your emotional safety. I'm going to say it. You're going to go, oh God, really, Carol Jean? Journaling. And I'm going to tell you why. I avoided it. I was so resistant to it for the longest time. And finally, I was just like, I've got to get this crap out of my head in some place that I can look at it. Because in emotional safety, we can have some really wild thoughts. We'll have a lot of extreme thinking. And it's really hard when you're trying to hold it all in your mind to really be able to observe. Because the reason journaling in this particular nourishment area is of such great service to you is because it gets it out of your head, gets it out of your thoughts and your mind onto paper, and you can come back to it from as a third person observer. You're then observing the words that you were having in that present moment, but you're not in that present moment anymore. You're in a totally different place. So you're going to see it and observe it and read it and feel it in a very different way. You're going to have a different perspective. I still go back and reread some of my old journals. And of course, you know, for me, I'm just like, oh, bless your heart. You were really trying. You're getting there. And being on the other side of it, I can also go, man, I have really grown. I did not even see some of the possibilities and potentials. Like I know when I can look back on why I was feeling and thinking the way I was, with some kindness and grace and compassion, but also look at it and go, man, that was really, that was a tough place for me because I didn't know any differently. So journaling truly is a really fantastic place to start tapping into identifying what your emotions are and how you're experiencing them within yourself. The other thing that I highly recommend in this place to energize some nourishment tips for emotional safety is breath work to regulate your nervous system. And I've got one more, so hang on. So with breath work specifically, this is a place that I found has probably the most impact in the most timely fashion. Like this is fast. For so many people, this is a really fast way to the body, more so than tapping, more so than somatic work. I mean, just the breath and how you can regulate your nervous system because, and the reason I say to use this or to try this is because, and I use something called falling out breath. And I'll put a link for you guys to check out. A private video that I share within the Unveiling Method. I'll put that private video link down here in the show notes so that you can practice this falling out breath technique. But what happens is in emotional safety, when we don't feel emotionally safe with other people and within ourselves, it activates our nervous system. And if this is something like for me, I lived this way for my conscious life. I mean, for as far back as I can remember, I mean, my first burnout started at the age of 6. The on-ramp probably started around age 4 or so. And in that experience, my nervous system was in this chronic high state. And so it never relaxed. It never felt peaceful. And through breath work, I discovered what that even felt like because I had no point of reference to even say, this is what a calm, quiet mind and body feel like, because it was like the LSU Death Valley Tiger football stadium. Now it holds like 109,000 people. I would equate my body felt like that when we're playing, you know, like Alabama and all the people are screaming and you can feel all of that and your body is just like, this is a lot. Because there's so much chaos, right? Breath work. And the third tip that I want to share with you for nourishing and energizing emotional safety is to be impeccable with your word. So this comes from the book, The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. And in this, be impeccable with your word transformed my life in the sense that I began to build trust with myself. Because I would keep my word to everyone else. I would push through it. I would, to my own physical, mental, and emotional detriment, make sure that I was impeccable with my word to everyone else, to the detriment of the word to myself. And that registers on a subconscious level. An emotional safety for me and for so many of my clients begins with building trust in ourselves. And for me, I found the most impactful way to begin that journey was to be impeccable with my word to myself. And I'm not saying start big. I'm saying start super small, super small. Mine was just, I'm going to take 3 intentional sips of water every day for a week. And that's where I started. And when I did that, and I was being impeccable with my word to myself about doing that, that unlocked something that really allowed me to begin to trust myself. And that began to transform emotional safety. So here is the kindness, the loving mantra for yourself. May I make room for my own feelings and thoughts. May I make room for my own feelings and thoughts. So which one of those 3 top nourishment needs, those big energy vampires, did you identify as sucking your energy? Which one? Was it authenticity? Was it belonging? Or was it emotional safety? Let me know. You can leave me a voicemail on Spotify. You can DM me over on Instagram at Carol Jean Whittington. And hey, if you're not a member of my Beyond Chronic Burnout channel over on Instagram, come join us. I love that group so much. We do polls. We have conversations around different topics. You know, people share what's happening in their life. It's a great place for you to ask questions, you know, if you've got a particular burnout question, but you can also leave me a 60-second voicemail, and actually 60 seconds is a lot longer than you think, and ask me a question over on Spotify. And if you've identified something here today that really stood out to you and you're ready to take this conversation today and really energize and get out of burnout and stay out, there's 2 options. You can get my book, Unleashing Sustainable Energy. It's over on whittingtonwellbeing.com, and you can do it yourself because the whole entire methodology is there. All the assessments, the framework to apply it, the whole shebangy. Or you can even get the companion workbook bundle where you can go do your burnout history and all the stuff, and it's all there. And you can do that. Or you can work with me one-on-one to accelerate your energy mastery journey. It's really amazing. I love to work one-on-one with my clients. It is such an incredible relationship that we build, and the transformations are absolutely magical. They truly are magical. And if you are ready and you are just wanting to dive in and get going, just reach out. Send me an email at energize@whittingtonwellbeing.com. Just say, hey, Carol Jean, how do I get started? And I will be glad to have a conversation and get you started. We have an incredible March lineup for the rest of this month. You know, so we are celebrating Women's History Month, and we had International Women's Day last Friday. And, you know, hey, do go check out that Burnout Real Talk conversation over on YouTube and at Beyond Chronic Burnout. But next week, I have the amazing Kristen Wilkinson. Kiki is going to be on the show, and we are talking about trust. So as we were talking about emotional safety today, and one of those areas of creating emotional safety and energizing is trust, tune in next week on Tuesday for that very powerful conversation. And on the 26th, the following week, I have the incredible Lorianne LaRocca and her daughter, Abby Wallace. These 2 beautiful neurodistinct mother-daughter team have written a book. And this has been, in true NeuroDistinct fashion, their absolute focus project. This has been their passion. And for the last 3 years, all of this started with a history trip for Abby. And they had more questions than they had answers. And there were thumbprints in a brick that really started this whole journey for them. So tune into that episode to really take that incredible journey with Lorianne and Abby and learn more about some of those insights. If you've been thinking about writing a book, Lorianne has written several books. And this journey, this was Abby's first book. She's 17. And it's really amazing. They share some of those insights into what did it take for them to write this book together as a mother-daughter team? And what did it take? What were some of the challenges that they came up against in publishing? Because this is some things that I came up against myself. And that's why I started my own publishing company, Hyperlexic Publishing. Because there are challenges that we face. And there's some scammers out there. And Lorianne shares that too. She had kind of a bad thing happen. So tune in, enjoy. I hope that you guys have gotten so much goodness and some really amazing insights on your own energy journey today as we have gone through each one of these really big energy vampires and how to energize them within your life. Thanks so much for being here. This means the world to me that you're sharing conversation and that you're loving yourself. You're at least, and if you're not loving yourself, at least you're kind of giving yourself some space to go, you know, hey, I really do want something different. How I felt isn't how I always want to feel, because I want you to know this, all the goodness, all of the energy, all of the things that you have dreamt of in your life, they're already yours. You don't have to earn them. You don't have to be anything, nothing added to you, nothing taken away from you. It's going to make you more worthy or make something where you have to work to earn it. It's already yours. Thriving and nourishment are already yours. I just want to help you unveil and get the goop off that the world has covered up, because you are a beautiful light, my friend. And I want to see you shine. I want to see you shine in the world because you have some amazing things. You are so worthy and you are such a spectacular person, and the world needs you. And I can't wait to meet you. So reach out, say hi, let me know. What is your biggest struggle right now in burnout? What's the thing that's really tripping you up? I want to be able to help you. I want to be able to serve you and give you some insights. And I sure hope you got some insights and some great tips today. If you picked out one of these spots, you know, rewind, go back, re-listen to the nourishment part and begin applying them. Don't just take this in and think about it. Really give yourself an opportunity to try it. Get messy, imperfect and messy. It doesn't have to be. There is no perfect. Just give yourself the opportunity to try. Put the lab coat on, experiment, get compassionately curious with yourself, and play, for the love of all things. Just play. Have some fun. Smile while you do it. The guarantee. Hey, the research data shows that's the number one place in that area. When we look at it, play and joy, that was like the biggest chunk of people going, nope, that was number one in that area. So I totally believe in some play, and I believe in living joyfully every day. I am being joyful all the time. Thanks so much for being here. And tune in next week when Kiki and I talk all about trust. See you then.